Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. I hope you're starting to see hints of spring wherever you are. We are down here in Alabama, and it's beautiful, the flowers and the green grass and the trees and everything. We've been enjoying that a lot. Hope you have been too. Today, I'm going to be interviewing Scott Brown of Church and Family Life. And he's going to go through five indispensable preparations you need to be doing for the coming storm. Things that will personally be protecting you, your family, your church. Throughout history, most of the time, the church and Christians were under persecution. And it appears we're heading back into those times, even in America. A lot of our brothers and sisters all over the world have been under persecution continually. It has never ended. But in America, we had 150, 200 years of complete freedom in religious things and freedom of speech and everything else. But those things are changing. We're going to talk about that. One letter I want to address that I got from you that kind of fits into this perfectly is from Cindy. And she lives in Minnesota. And was talking about how she enjoyed the interview with Rory Groves and said they're passing some bills now in their state. If they get passed, they're going to really dramatically change things for homeschoolers, for Christian schools. They're going to have mandates of homeschoolers will have to turn in their test scores. Private schools will not be able to mandate their statement of faith on their applications. They'll have to allow anyone to come in for any reason. And they'll have to have transgender and ethics classes in homeschools, Christian schools, and government schools that are taught by state-trained personnel. So that would be dramatic. You'd have to have a state-trained person come into your home and teach your children about transgenderism and things like that. So what her question was, if God allows this in Little California, Minnesota, would families like Rory's and ours need to move some other place? That's something to think about. I can't answer for Rory Groves and his family, but I know him enough to know this. If this was really happening, his family is more important to him, like it would be to me, than my business, than my property, than my possessions, than everything. And so just like the pilgrims, we have to have a different mindset. We can't get too attached to our earthly possessions, which we're not supposed to be anyway. But we can't get so attached that I've lived here my whole life that if things happen where they're going to start brainwashing your children. They're going to start taking away your freedoms to do the things God would have you to do and how you raise them, how you run your business and the things you do. It's time to go. Like the pilgrims. I mean, it's time to hop on a boat and go. We have to find a place where we can be free. That's just a little comment on that. And then she recommends you ought to update the 10 best states. And maybe we can do that in the future here as we went through. Here's the 10 best states for a lot of different reasons why they wouldn't be a bad choice to move to. If you're in a state that's starting to become totalitarian, that might be a wise thing to do. But that goes right along with today. How do we protect ourselves, our families, spiritually, mentally, and prepare for the storm that we can clearly see is coming? It's not coming. It's actually here. It's raining outside right now, and the clouds are dark, and the lightning is striking. And so I think this will be really beneficial to you if you listen carefully. Scott Brown is just a great guy. He has had such tremendous influence on me and my own family. I'm so thankful for the books and resources he's done, the conferences he puts on how to build a strong church and a strong family and things. And so we'll get into that. But anyway, I appreciate you joining me, and I hope you really enjoy this interview. Scott Brown, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Curtis. Great to see you.
Yeah, appreciate you and all that you do. Church and Family Life, give us just a short explanation of what that is for people that might not be familiar with that.
Church and Family Life exists to proclaim the sufficiency of Scripture. And we focus on church and family and the interaction, the complementary roles of church and family. We want to equip strong families. We want to also be a blessing to equipping churches as well. Strong churches strong families, that's the whole world for us.
Yes. And those watching, as you know, we've seen civilization collapse around us, especially in America, over the last 50 years. And that's the reason why. When the family and the church are not healthy, strong, prospering, growing, thriving, if that's not happening, everything is crumbling. You cannot have a strong political system, economic system, any kind of system, if the family isn't strong and the church isn't strong. Those are just the bedrocks of civilization. That's why I appreciate Scott Brown and all that he's done. He's been a tremendous influence on me and my family over the last 15, 20 years. And today we're going to talk about some things that are very important in building strong families and strong churches, which of course complement each other. You can't have one without the other. But he's going to talk about five indispensable preparations for the coming storms that we see. We all see that. We all know we're going to endure some storms ahead and for many different reasons. But five key things you have to have in line, you have to be settled on before you head into the storm to be able to weather the storm, regardless of how severe it is, regardless of how much we are personally impacted, our country's impacted, our community's impacted. You can prepare all you want, and it's good to. It's very good to be prepared for things. But if these five things he's going to talk about aren't, again, haven't been taken care of and aren't understood, you're going to have a rough go of it, regardless of what you've done. So, Scott, why don't you start off and talk about what the first area we need to be prepared in?
Yeah, and before we get to that first area, I just want to say the church has, in most of its history, the true church has lived in times of persecution and constraint by the civil government. The church is almost always in trouble with the secular state. And, you know, I've been preaching through the book of Revelation. I was very struck by chapters 2 and 3 about the seven churches. And these were churches that were under persecution, and they had tremendous pressures upon them. Like, for example, the church in Smyrna was terribly persecuted. They had tremendous weight upon them. Poverty, they were being slandered and blasphemed. They were being imprisoned, and they were actually being killed. And the whole social structure was against them. And, you know, we see the social structure lining up against the church today. And so I just want to say that God uses these times to sweeten his church. Smyrna means myrrh, and you know, when myrrh is crushed, it lets out a wonderful aroma. And so the church in times of persecution are often the best times for the church, even though they're really difficult. But there are things that we need to get straight. And you know, Curtis, you've been sounding the alarm for many years about this, about I shouldn't say oncoming Marxist revolution. It's full blown right now, but I want to talk about five indispensable preparations for the coming waves. And of course, the first one, you might expect this: get straight on the condition of your soul. Soul preparation is the best preparation, because the guidance, the comfort, the fruit of the Spirit is what really sustains a person in difficult times. And, you know, I've been reading Alexander Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago recently, and the assaults against the soul that he records were just absolutely astounding. And what I'm saying here in this first indispensable preparation: get straight on the condition of your soul. Are you born again? Don't play patty cake with that issue. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And when you're in difficult times, to see the kingdom of God is your greatest solace. You know, and you're also, you know, you're free in your soul. You're not condemned. You're forgiven of your sins. So the first thing is, make sure that you've done proper business with God and that you are really saved. Our country is full of people who have the name of Christian, but they're not truly converted. Their lives haven't been changed. They haven't been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they're very, very vulnerable, even though they're church-going people. So first, get straight on the condition of your soul.
Yes, and on that, it just, almost everyone in America thinks they're a Christian. And if you had 10 different people and you walked up to them and said, are you a Christian? They said, yes. If you said, what does it mean to be a Christian right after that? You might get 10 different answers with those 10 different people. And that's what I want you to know, those that listen to this, that being a Christian is, I mean, you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, but you've been born again. You've been totally transformed. It's a life-changing thing that happens. It's not just weekly attendance at church or trying to be good or believing in God. And those are good things, but they don't save you. It's that repentance. It's that turning from your sin and accepting what Jesus Christ did for you because he loved you so much. He shed his blood to cover your sins, but that has to be personally accepted, believed, and then that transformation happens. And then, like he was talking about, whether it was the Soviet Union, where there was tremendous persecution of the church, or in China today, or in Cuba, or in North Korea, and all the places today, millions and millions of Christians are being persecuted. Regardless of where it was, those that were truly born again were able to endure cheerfully, endure with hope, great hope, even if today might be my last day, but that's okay. I know where I'm going when I die, and I have total peace, total joy in knowing that I've been faithful to do what God's called me to do. And so I just, again, don't let yourself fit in that little box of you're a Christian because you said you're a Christian. People that are a Christian because they've been transformed by what the Bible says is being born again. And I just want to make sure you know about that one. What's the second one, Scott?
Yeah, the second is get your family in order. Establish truly biblical family life. We have the unfortunate condition that in the 20th century, the whole doctrine and the functionality of the family was lost through rising secularism. And so it became hard to find people who actually had biblically ordered families. And what I mean by that is families that really follow the pattern that Moses commanded the children of Israel. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. They're getting ready to go into a land of paganism. They're going to see things they've never seen before with child sacrifice and all kinds of things like that. And Moses says to them, teach your children when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, have a family that's saturated by the word of God. You know, during the 20th century, the whole practice of what we call family worship had fallen off the radar screen of families. And that needs to be recovered. The Puritans thought that you should have morning and evening family worship because of the morning and evening sacrifices in the temple, that the family is like a little temple. The family is like a little church of God. It's not the church, but it functions like the church. And so the filling of the members of the family with the word of God is the greatest defense against tyranny and corruption in the church and in the world. And maybe I'll just add one more thing. I believe God created the family to be like a little Garden of Eden, a little piece of heaven in the midst of a wicked and corrupt generation. And what God has done is he's designed a family to be like an independent community, like an insulated community. And when I say insulated, I mean like almost the way we use insulation, where it keeps the heat in and keeps the cold out. You know, families that are close, that are bound together by the truth of the word of God, governed by the word of God. I think that's so critical for anticipating the days ahead.
Yes, and even more so today than 50 years ago. It's always been vital, but because the world now is communicating so many untruths to your children, so many lies and deceptions, and so many ways they're trying to convince them to come out and play and come out. You're going to have fun with us. And there's so many lies being told. If you're not speaking the truth boldly and frequently to your children, I'm just telling you, all the statistics show it. My life shows, as I look around, you're going to lose your kids. You're going to lose your grandkids. If they don't understand the truth, they haven't studied the truth, they don't just know that God's ways are right and the world's ways, no matter how flowery, how attractive they appear to be, they're total lies, and they fail every single time. And they end not just in failure, but in destruction and death and suffering. And we don't want that for our children. So that's why this is so, so vital that you start doing this if you haven't, and that's fine if you haven't. You don't know until you know. Like, oh, I didn't know I was supposed to be doing that. I remember the first time I heard about family devotions 15 years ago or so. I'm like, what does that mean? I'm supposed to do that? Oh, I'm not a pastor. I can't do that. And I at first didn't understand, like, well, what am I supposed to be doing? But then I realized, oh, it's just a father simply opening up the Bible, reading a section of it, talking about it, and where the children see the Bible's important to Dad, and they also hear Dad speak from the experience of his life, how he has seen these biblical truths are true. they you do reap what you sow. Every man has seen that in his own life and in others, and can just share that with his children. And the book of Proverbs is a great place to start. But anyway, yeah, that is vital.
No, that this your thought here about the lies. We live in a culture of lies. I remember President Biden's first executive orders when he became president. They were all based on lies. They were lies about race and ethnicity, and there were laws that were made to support the lie. There were lies about justice. They made laws to support the lie. There were laws about manhood and womanhood, and laws to support the lie. Lies about sexuality. Even laws about man's authority and power to change the environment, to change the weather. These are all lies. And the only way to deal with a lie really is to combat it with the truth. And I love what the way you said, it's simple. Open, you know, a father should just read his Bible to his children. You know, men come to me and they say, how do you do family worship? I say, I'll give you a 30-second training right now. This is what we do in our church. First of all, you open your Bible and you read it. And then you ask, what wonderful things did I see in the Word of God? And then pray for one another and your community or what else is going on. So now you're trained to go do it. You don't need any more training. 30 seconds.
That's it. No, that's wonderful. So what is point number three?
Yeah, point number three is get your family into a biblically ordered church. The church will never perish. And I would say get yourself into a church and do what they did in the early church in the book of Acts, in Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. This is a life where of being saturated in local church life. Make your local church the center of your world. And then if you can fit other things around it, fine. But begin with God's most important institution, and that was the church of Jesus Christ. And a critical part of building insulated communities is your church. And, wrap your family around local church life. Squeeze every ounce of good out of your local church life. You know, last year I wrote a book about this called The Family at Church. I think I have it here just a second. It's right here. In this book, I'm trying to help families understand how to engage local church life, how parents are tour guides for joy, how parents ought to engage their children in immersive local church life, to squeeze every ounce of good out of the preaching, out of the singing, out of the fellowship, out of what's happening there.
What I've got a question. I've got a question on that before you finish, because
sure.
One of the main questions we get emailed to us is people really having trouble finding a church like that that they could plug into, that they that it's going to be consistent and it's going to be, you know, that kind of source to them. Is there any suggestions or things to look for as you're looking for that type of church? No church is perfect and it never will be, so don't
right.
expect that. But I know people have really been frustrated by, again, the churches that closed for a year and a half during COVID and stuff, like, you know,
right.
the pastor, oh no, the government said to close down, so we got to close down. You know, we're not essential. And they went along with that and people were so frustrated. But anyway, what's some things that they could look for or try to find a healthy church?
Well, I think you're tipping me off a little bit. Find a church that thinks it's essential.
Right.
That it's really, really important.
Yes.
But you want to find a church where the word of God is central, where there's an understanding among the leader of those church of that church that it's the word of God that leads the church. Man doesn't lead the church. The word of God leads the church. So there should be a high view of scripture and really a focus on the word of God in the life of that church. And I guess secondly, is a true gospel being preached? Well, if the word of God is truly being honored, a true gospel will be being preached. And so I think those are two absolutely critical matters. And I sympathize. It's hard to find churches that are like that. And I would just say, either find one that's near enough to you to be embedded in the relationships of that church, or move. Some people, they end up with basically two alternatives. I'm either going to find something close by, close enough, or I'm going to have to move. I encourage people to prioritize the local church to that level. I think it might be time for people to be willing to move, even though that's really difficult. If you're going to move somewhere, find a local church first.
Yes. Yes. As many of you have talked about moving and are moving, make sure that's always in the criteria there. I want to get out a little bit or whatever, get to a more freedom-loving state, which are good things to do. But I also want to make sure I have that support and that bedrock to build with my family. So both together, a strong church, if you have a strong church and a strong family, you can weather anything that comes. That's what God intended to be the breeding ground for us to learn truth, to learn to love truth, to learn to hate what is evil, to learn to stand up for what is right, to learn to how the things are supposed to work, how marriage and family and how God intended businesses to run and governments to run and everything else. It's all right there. So you need those. If you move out like an island, and you don't have your family around you, and you don't have a good church to go to, you're just not going to last that long, because we weren't made to live like that, totally separated from God's people and authority of God's people over us to help shepherd and protect us and help us direct our path.
You know, there are two of the most critical institutions that God established, and one is the church and the other is the family, and they both work together. And you, like you said, you'll never find a perfect church. And actually, you know, my view is that God meant it that way. He meant for you to bump up against people that aren't exactly like you, and so that you learn how to love people that are a little bit different. And in a church, people are in a lot of different places. Some are new believers, some just got off the boat of the world. And others have been Christians a long time. Everybody comes from different backgrounds.
Right.
But God actually designed this for his glory, so that we would learn how to love one another. And so, but a church is really fantastic for that, because your family has inputs beyond just your family. God meant your family to have inputs beyond your family. like, for example, preachers, elders who shepherd the flock, where there is actual authority in a church, where there's discipline in a church. That's another thing. You know, if you had, if you found a church and they don't practice church discipline, it's not a true church. And because the Church of Jesus Christ is a purifying institution where we actually deal with sin.
That's right. Now that's great, great stuff there. Okay, what's number four of the indispensable preparations we need?
Number four, get your doctrine of God straight. Get your doctrine of God straight. Why? Because you and your children need to know who's ruling. You and your children need to know who's running things. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is the ruler of the kings of the earth, that Jesus Christ is the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords, and he reigns. And there's nothing that a government does that's outside of the rulership of Jesus Christ. We're seeing the governments of the world acting really crazy. For some reason, God has them doing such things. And they're not surprises to God. And frankly, they shouldn't. They're kind of surprising to us, aren't they? I mean, things have happened in America in the last 20 years. Wow, they're surprising. But it's part of the advance of a secular state. So, but why is the doctrine of God so critical? Because of fear. It's so easy to become fearful, to overreact, and to understand that tyrants always do what tyrants do. It's dogs do what dogs do. Tyrants do what tyrants do. And it's what we're seeing the tyrants do in our age is nothing different than what we've seen in world history. You know, I started out talking about the churches, the seven churches of Asia that Jesus writes to in the book of Revelation. He says to the church in Smyrna, do not be afraid. Be faithful unto death. And God just gives us very simple things to do to live in this world. Be faithful no matter what, even if the pressure gets great. We pray it doesn't get much greater than it is now in America, but it might. We don't know, but here's what we do know. God is in control. He is the ruler of the kings of the earth. And I can lay my head down on my pillow every night and know that God is God.
That's right.
You know, we don't want to raise a fearful generation.
That's right. That's right. And what Scott was saying by that too, based on what we talk about on Agenda Weekly here, is, and I've talked about this before, is when we see evil prospering in our country, that should make us fear God more, not the evil, because why is he allowing this? And you realize if you study Bible history, world history, you go, oh, he usually allows that as judgment on a people that have turned their back on him and have said, we're not interested. Like our country in the 60s. No, we don't want God in the schools. We don't want the Bible. We don't want the Ten Commandments. Get it out of here. And God says, okay. You reap what you sow. There's this principle that no one can defy. And so you're going to reap that. But again, he always uses that, whatever, how severe it is, how horrible it might be at that moment, because he loves us. And he wants to draw us to himself where we're truly just dependent on him, because there's nothing we can do. There's nowhere to go except him. And so that's why he allows those circumstances sometimes, like the suffering in our life. That's his currency. Not out of meanness or out of, oh, how could God do that? It's no, he loves us so much. He knows if we had a life just of prosperity and blessing, we would be very quick to probably forget him and forget everything that's important and just enjoy all the fun and games. And he realizes, no, you need a portion. And I know I've had it in my life. I can feel sometimes when I think it's coming again, something he's going to allow to come into my life that causes me to suffer, again, in a loving way. And as I look back on my life and the times that were the most painful, I see that's when I was closest to him. And I wish I could be like that every day, even though you don't want to go through the suffering. But there are special time in your life when you have nowhere to, no one to hold on to, no one you can express what you're feeling except him. And so that's why he does that. So it's always for a purpose. It's always done out of love for his children and or to punish the wicked and things. But just know that he can be trusted. And if he's allowing it, that should get us on our knees more, begging for his mercy and acknowledging, yes, we have sinned and we deserve what you're giving us, but we know you're merciful. We know you're long-suffering. But please put a hedge about my family and my country if possible, if that would fit into your plan. But help us to be faithful in the midst of the storm. If that's not going to fit into your plan, an easy life, then you help me to be faithful in the strenuous life and the rough life. And he will do it, and he won't waste any of that. And you'll be grateful when you get to heaven one day. If you were faithful, all those hardships, whatever they were, children dying, parents dying, whatever tough things, you'll go, thank you for doing those. Because you'll see then his perfect plan in allowing those things to happen. And you'll realize it's just because he loved me. And he wanted me to be closer to him because he knew rough times were ahead. So.
Yeah. You know, and the older you get, you realize God, there's always a way through.
Yes.
God always gives you a way. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
And so I'm reminded of the children of Israel when they were taken to Babylon into captivity. And there were all kinds of voices. They were actually false prophets. The false prophets were saying, rebel, take up arms. Jeremiah, though, was saying, no, build houses, dwell in the land, plant gardens, go get spouses for your children, get married, have babies, just tend the garden, just keep doing the faithful things, just focus on the things you know are absolutely critical for life. And those are always really the simple things. You know, I want young people to understand that God will always see them through. You know, when you're young, you don't know where things are going and you don't know where your life is going. I want to tell them, hey, God's given you everything you need to get through everything you'll ever face.
That's right.
And whether you end up in a prison or in a palace, God is there. Almighty God is there. So get your doctrine of God right, because he's real.
Yes, he is. No, that's great. All right. What's the fifth indispensable preparation?
Yeah, the fifth is get your doctrine of civil government straight. Get your doctrine of civil government straight. Why? Well, when governments become tyrants, it means that the church, Christians, are forced to make decisions. And on the one hand, they want to honor authorities. They want to do what Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2 describe. That's the nature, that's the DNA of a Christian. The Christian wants to be honorable and obedient, but governments do violate the things of God. And so, you know, Christians are conflicted when the government violates the truth of God. Getting your doctrine of the civil government right is really critical. I published a book by Pierre Verret during COVID called When to Disobey, Case Studies in Tyranny, Insurrection, and Obedience to God. Here's the book right here. And Pierre Verret was a French reformer, very popular preacher, but he shepherded the church during the Reformation tumult into how to deal with tyrannical governments. And he led people through three different tyrannical governments, secular governments, Roman Catholic governments. And this book is comprised of case studies of how the church ought to function in times like that. And so I know it's a difficult matter, when to disobey. But I thought Pierre Verret, he was such a good shepherd. He was such a careful and even keeled thinker about persecution that I thought this would be a really good book. But you got to get your doctrine of the civil government straight. Most of us grew up thinking you just always obey the government no matter what. I did. And it wasn't until recently that I actually realized that there are moments when the church must defy the civil government. And we saw that during COVID and when the government ordered the shutdown of churches. And churches had to decide whether they were going to perpetuate the gatherings for worship the way that God commanded. And of course, many did shut down. And I think part of that might have been due to having a false doctrine of civil government. You've got to get your doctrine of the civil government straight. The apostles were all martyred because they defied the civil government. Let's don't say that obedience to the civil government is always required.
That's right. And in America, we have a unique situation where our founders understood some of that too, where they put the civil government underneath us, the way it's supposed to operate. They've flipped that around over the last 50, 60 years. But where there are public servants, they're the ones making sure that our rights that God has given us are upheld and are protected. And that's, of course, their main and only real purpose is to do that and then to punish those that do wicked, evil things so we don't have to avenge ourselves when something bad happens. And so, no, that's so vital. And it's, we're just living in a day where all these things are so relevant. I know you all want to hear me say, vote for this person and everything's going to be smooth sailing from here on out. But I can't ever say that because it's not true. It will never happen. These five things, these take more work. They take more effort, but they bear more fruit than anything else you could possibly do. Even for our country, if you go, I just want to do what's best for America, then you would do this. This is what's best for America. When America had healthy families, strong churches, evil had to go hide in the shadows around the corner in the back alleys. It was not welcome in the public square because every pastor in America would have stood up if something came into that town and said, get that junk out of here now. And they would have listened because they would have been fearful of the church's influence and the congregation standing behind them, and they would have run. And they did for 150 years. And then we started to think, oh, maybe the world has more answers for things than God does. And the church started to slowly hide back in the shadows and let the evil come out of the shadows. And it's just time. Our generation right now is the time to say, nope, no more. We're shining the light. We're coming out into the open. We're standing for truth, regardless of the cost. And we know God is pleased with that. And if we're pleasing him, we have done everything we were required to do because that's the only purpose of life. And you're, in fact, this is a good segue into, you have a conference coming up once a year. You have a Church and Family Life conference. My family and I have been many times to this, and we're planning on going this year as well. It's called The Chief End of Man. Talk about that conference for a minute. What's coming up?
Yeah, we can't wait. It's happening May 4th through 6th at Ridgecrest, North Carolina. The chief end of man. What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And we're going to try to unpack that in lots of practical ways for families. By the way, this is a conference where whole families come. It's amazing to me. There are not many conferences where whole families come, but this is one where if you come, there'll be a lot of single people. By the way, we have a singles conference. It's a pre-conference just before this, our national conference, and it's called Holiness to the Lord. It's May 3rd and 4th. And we'll gather singles, several hundred singles will come together, and I have Paul Washer and other people preaching to that, and also our main conference. My favorite preachers are coming to this conference. So it's a preaching conference, but we've really made it family friendly with things for families to do. And I really hope you can come. You know, when you understand the chief end of man, you'll understand the chief thing you need to do no matter what you're doing. So we're going to talk about all the different categories of life that we can just jam into this one conference through these preachers.
Yeah, no, they're excellent. I've been many times in the past, the holiness of God and different ones that they've had that when you're there, so many nice families and people from all over the country, which is that alone would be worth coming if they didn't even have a conference, just get together. We've met so many sweet families and people that we've just had grown relationships with, but it's also to then really learn in a saturated way, getting session after session after session, talking about key elements of this. So you totally get it. You understand, okay, I'm here to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And now I know what that means. And now I know how to make that a reality in my life. Those of you that, especially if you're born again and you know the Lord, it'd be a great thing to go to. We'll have the link below here. It's May 4th, 5th, and 6th in Ridgecrest, North Carolina. What's your website, Scott?
Churchandfamilylife.com.
Churchandfamilylife.com. And but anyway, consider that. One other thing I want to talk to you about before you go is your book. You have many of them. When you go to that website, you can find out about the conference, but you can also see a lot of different great resources there for you. But one I want to encourage you to get, and this is if you're an individual that's already raised your family or if you still have children around, but it's called Journey Through the Bible. And it is a blessing. We have this and we've gone through it and continue to go through it. But it breaks down the Bible into each book, the 66 books, but it giving you an overview. Here's what this book is about and here's what's going on with it. And as you just go through that, if you just went through that with your family, you'll have gone through the entire Genesis to Revelations with a lot of just helpful questions and things to think about and do there. I know there's a hymn and different things to go along with it, but talk about that for a minute, how valuable that can be to a family or an individual that just wants to better understand what the Bible is all about in case they've never read it cover to cover or not been under good preaching where they've really been able to absorb the content of that.
Yeah, I wrote this book for families, for busy fathers and mothers particularly. I'm encouraging people to read through the Bible every year. We did that in our home for over a decade. What happens when you do that is you get the whole counsel of God, and that's what you need to fortify your mind for the things that are ahead. But so in this book, it's there's a brief explanation of that book. There's an outline when it was written, who wrote it. Study questions if you want, and then a hymn that actually characterizes the main thrust of that book. But I wrote it for families who want to read through the Bible, maybe in a year, hopefully in a year. It's structured that way. We also have an app. I open it up every morning, and it tells me what to read. You know, this morning I was in Deuteronomy, and the Gospel of Mark, and I read what it tells me to read every day. And you can also hit some buttons and see what Matthew Henry said about it or John Gill said about, you know, that text. But I wrote that for particularly as kind of a cheat sheet for a father, where he could just in like 2 or 3 minutes read what that book is about, tell his family about it, and then launch off and understand the flow and the doctrine of that book. Where's Jesus Christ in this book? Where's, you know, just very, where are these various doctrines in the book? Journey through the Bible. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. No, it's been a blessing to our family, and so have you and your ministry and what you do. I appreciate you greatly. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a blessing, and I know people, if you'll get that book, if you'll think about these things that, again, take more effort than just watching the news tomorrow, what's going on, but the fruit is guaranteed. It's not a maybe. You know, if I learn this or that, it just will help you, and it'll help you, like what we said at the beginning, it'll help you be prepared for whatever's coming our way. And I think some serious things are coming our way, and it will help you get ready for that in a way that can't be taken away from you. That's, you know, you prep up and someone comes, robs you, you have nothing. You do this prep, they can take everything you own and throw you in prison. You have everything. And that's the way we need to prepare.
It's the counter revolution to the revolutionaries.
That's right. And it will bless your children and your grandchildren. in your community, in the church where you are. You can be a good example to the families there and others. But anyway, well, Scott, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. God bless you, Curtis. It's great to see you. May your tribe increase. And I keep warning, because what you're saying is absolutely correct.
Thank you. Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview. Scott Brown's a good friend of mine and one of the sweetest men that I know. And he has such wisdom to understand the times, to understand what's happened and what we need to do to turn things back, to build the foundations, to turn things back to the way God intended them to be so we can be blessed the way God blesses those who love him and love his ways. And so anyway, hope you're encouraged by some of that. Consider getting that book, Journey Through the Bible. If you haven't read through the Bible many times in your life, you will just absolutely love that book to help you just go through it and better understand all the different books and the messages and the time frames and the authors. And anyway, I've enjoyed it very much, and I think you would too. Our verse for this week kind of fits into what we've been talking about today. Proverbs 27:12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. When we see what's going on, we want to prepare spiritually, mentally, physically, in every way. And just knowing that God is watching, he knows what we're going to have to go through or not go through. But it tells us, the Bible tells us, a prudent man, when he sees that, he goes, okay, I'm going to try to hide myself, and that I'm going to be quietly doing what God has asked me to do, raising my family, investing in my community, loving my neighbor, and then praying that God would protect and bless as I do that faithfully. You never know. The other side could destroy themselves with all the foolishness that they're doing, and God would allow our side to keep multiplying behind the scenes and eventually take back the land. He could do that if he wanted to. And I just want you to be encouraged, but I want you to be prepared at a deeper level than just the pantry. And I hope today was helpful in that. And I hope you have a great week. And until next week, God bless you.